Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I saw yesterday a comic strip. It was about the feeding of the Israelites in the desert, the manna. And so just a background story real quick, just to make it fresh in your minds. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea, and then they're wandering around in the desert for 40 years, and they don't have any food. So God sends them manna each day, and they eat manna. In Exodus 16, it says that that God rained the manna from the heavens, and that this manna was white, and it was thin like a wafer, which is actually part of the reason why the Catholic Church receives their communion as a wafer in remembrance of the manna. But anyhow, so God would rain the manna down, and then they would gather it. So in this comic strip, though, it shows the children of Israel all out in the desert, and they're trying to catch the manna in their mouth as it falls down, kind of like snowflakes. But unfortunately, there was a bird that was flying by, and there was a guy that yells out, "Oh, gross, that wasn't manna." So there is a relation to the manna in the Old Testament with today's gospel reading. So as Father Lou went over the gospel reading, Jesus, after actually hearing that his cousin John the Baptist had been killed, and that John the Baptist, that Herod believed John the Baptist was resurrected in Christ. They believed, he actually thought that John the Baptist, who he had killed, had been resurrected, and that this was Jesus, and that was why he was able to do all these powers, had all these powers. And when Jesus had heard this, he leaves the region under Herod, because his time was not yet. And also there was another reason. It says that he went to a desolate area in order to ultimately be alone with the Father, so that he can pray and be alone. But when he reaches there, this desolate area, he meets the needs of all these, he meets all these people who have great needs. And so he heals them, and he teaches them throughout the day in this desolate area. So there's a significance about this story. If you look at all four of the Gospels, all four of them record this specific incident, which is quite significant because that doesn't happen all the time. John the theologian specifically states that if all the miracles and all the stories that Jesus had done were written, the heavens couldn't contain all of the things that he had done. And if this is the case, then we should take special care to look at the things that are told. There's a specific reason for each of these. So the parallel, though, with the feeding of the 5,000 does go back to God feeding the Israelites in the wilderness. You might question it right now, but the fact that there is a deserted area mentioned is one of the parallels. But in the Gospel of John specifically, he continues this line of thought right after the miracle. And so I want to point out that the reason that the evangelists, I believe, parallel these two events is for two reasons. The first reason is that they're saying that Jesus is the God of the Old Testament who had fed the Israelites the manna from heaven. This is the first reason. Many times we think that it was God the Father who is the God of the Old Testament and God the Son of the New Testament. But the church fathers make this really clear that that's not the case. That Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, was the God of the Old Testament. He was the God, he was the person who had, before his incarnation, appeared in the burning bush that fed the Israelites in the desert. And it was him who did all these wonders. And so it was him who they worshipped in the temple. And when he came and he became incarnate, and they didn't recognize him, and they handed him over to be killed, they actually killed the very God whom their own fathers loved and worshipped. All this to say, this is the same God. This is one of the very specific points that the evangelists are making by paralleling this. And so often as well, we read the Old Testament in a chronological way and then continue on with the New Testament. But the New Testament authors, specifically as they wrote these Gospels, didn't necessarily have it in this chronological way. They saw themselves as being a commentary on the Old Testament. So Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, regardless of whether there is a prophecy or not, all these stories have their fulfillment in Christ. And all the evangelists saw this specific thing, and that is why all four of them saw this significance with the feeding of the 5,000 in the desolate place, and Christ feeding the Israelites in the desert. So that you know that I'm not making this up, let me continue. John, in the Gospel of John, as soon as he does this miracle specifically, Jesus then goes on to say that I am the manna which has come down from heaven. So this was clearly in Jesus' mind. And then he continues in the same passage. It's in John 6 if you want to check it. He then says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. So if Jesus himself is our manna, as he says he is, he came down, he's the God of the Old Testament, he's fulfilled, his whole life is a fulfillment of the Old Testament, which is a shadow, according to Hebrews, of the New Testament things. If this is the case, we should ask ourselves, how can we receive Christ as manna? The first one for most Orthodox, and there's two ways. For most Orthodox and Catholic Christians, it's the obvious one, which I hinted at. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. But the second one is also, there's a second way that we receive Christ as manna, and that's through the Word of God. So every liturgy, we feast on manna in the two forms, both in the Word of God as we've read it, but also in the Eucharist, which we will soon prepare. So I'd like us all to think how specifically the Israelites gathered manna each day. We too should be thinking how we should each day be gathering manna. So if you remember the Old Testament story, if you gathered enough manna for that day, what they would do is they would grind it up and make it into a flour, which then they could turn into a bread. Well, if they gathered more than they needed for that day and had any left over, it went bad. It spoiled. It would grow worms and stuff like that. And then the next day, they would have to do it all again. This labor of continually gathering the manna was something that they couldn't store up a lot from. It was something that they had to do each day. And this is also the case for us with Christ, who is our manna. This is something that we must gather each day. We must each day labor to receive Christ, both as Word and as Eucharist. Now, we can't always, because of our schedules, receive Christ as Eucharist, but we are able to each day find time to gather manna as in the Word of God. And there is one along these same, like, so a lot of times we think of the Eucharist specifically as manna, and we put a really high emphasis on this, which we rightly do so, but sometimes we underemphasize the Eucharist or the Word of God in a similar way. There is a saint who emphasizes, his name is Saint Caesarius of Arles. He died in 542, and he was talking about the way we receive the Word or the manna, yeah, as Word of God, should be similar to the way we receive Christ as Eucharist. He says, brothers and sisters, here is a question for you. Which to you seems greater, the Word of God or the body of Christ? If you want to give the right answer, you will reply that God's Word is not less than Christ's body. Therefore, just as we take care when we receive the body of Christ, so that no part of it falls to the ground. Likewise, we should ensure that the word of God, which is given to us, is not lost to our souls because we are speaking or thinking about something different. One who listens negligently to God's word is just as guilty as one who, through carelessness, allows Christ's body to fall to the ground. This was his 300th sermon, if you want to check that as well. Ultimately, what I'm saying is many have developed the discipline of gathering manna each day to spend time with God. If Jesus himself, right before this passage was read, if he himself went to this desolate place so that he can be alone with the Father, so that he can have this time, how much more do us sinners need this? Even though Jesus was distracted because of the people, he still made it a point that even that day, after he dismissed the people and he dismissed the disciples, he then went away to be with the Father, to have his own personal time with God. So I would like to encourage all of us, whether we already have this discipline of daily seeking God in the Scriptures or in the Eucharist, if we are able, through the liturgies, to each day to continue to struggle to gather Christ as our true manna and to receive him in our hearts. Because we cannot rely on what we've studied yesterday or the time that we've done the day before. We need to do it more than just Sunday to Sunday. If we eat physically between Sundays, we also need to be nourished spiritually between Sundays as well. And so with all this said, may God prepare our hearts so that we would now be ready to receive Christ as manna in the Eucharist. Amen.